Isn't it great to get a compliment? You know, some people are really good at giving backhanded compliments, aren't they? Huh? Like somebody came up to a preacher and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know that every sermon you preach is better than your next." Think about that one. In other words, it's a downhill slide. Everyone's better than the next. They just keep getting worse and worse. Please don't tell me that after church, all right? Or if somebody comes up to you, ladies, and says, "Oh, that dress makes you look much thinner." But there's nothing like a sincere compliment. What's the greatest compliment that anybody could ever give you if you're a Christian? I believe, just think about that. What's the greatest compliment, if you know the Lord, that anybody could ever give you? I personally think the greatest compliment that anybody could ever give you is that they see Jesus in you. In other words, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. They see the character of Christ living in and through you, in your actions and in your attitudes, in the way you live. They see Christ in you. That's the greatest compliment. I remember several years ago, I ran down to Publix in the morning. I was here at work and I needed a couple things, and I ran down there to Publix, and I was, you know, just friendly and kind with the lady that was doing the checkout, and she looked at me and she said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am, but how did you know?" She said, "Oh," she was an older lady, she said, "Oh, honey, Jesus is all over you." And, you know, I've never forgot that, Adam. I never forgot that statement. Because to me, that's the greatest compliment anybody could ever give you, is that they see Jesus Christ in you. Well, we've been studying the Good Samaritan, and what I basically want to do is I want to see Jesus in the Good Samaritan. And hopefully, we're going to take what we've learned over the past couple weeks about compassionate caring, we're going to apply that to our life, so that others can see Jesus in us, because Jesus truly is in the Good Samaritan. I want to just read it again. It'll only take a minute. I want to read the story again. And then next week, of course, we're going to move on. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 10. Everybody turn there. Luke chapter 10. And I want to look at this story one more time before we move on. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading the story that Jesus told. Jesus told this story about the Good Samaritan, and it's in verse 30. Look at it with me. Luke 10, verse number 30. If you want to use the Pew Bible, there should be one there in front of you, and feel free to do that. Bill, can you grab me a handout? Just grab the Pew Bible, and the Pew Bible page number is always at the top of your handout, and it's page number 1073 this morning, 1073. All right, let's look at it. Luke 10, verse number 30. It says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, putting in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You know, the primary purpose of this story, I believe, is to drive home the point that God is calling all of us in here to live lives of compassionate caring, to see wounded lives and be willing to step up to the plate and to help people. Also, the doctrinal implication here is, remember, Christ had come to call Israel to repentance. And so he's ministering to the nation of Israel, and this story would really hit home to Israel who was listening, because he wanted to show Israel, you've got a form of lifeless religion, but you do not possess a true life-changing faith. You have a dead religion. And the priest and the Levite, they represent, remember they looked at him and they just passed by on the other side. The priest and the Levite represent the deadness of Israel's spiritual condition. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Their dead religion wouldn't even cause them to interrupt their schedule to help a man that was in need. And so that's the primary doctrinal application of this story. But before we move on, I really believe we would be remiss if we failed to see Jesus and his love here in this text. Let me say this to you this morning. Remember this. The Bible is a book that always leads you straight to Jesus Christ. The Bible is a book that always leads you straight to Jesus Christ. I don't know how preachers can get away from the Lord Jesus Christ in their preaching, because Jesus Christ is on every page of the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. We see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at the story of the Good Samaritan, once again, we see Jesus. How do we see Jesus? I want to give you some exciting things this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ that we see in this story about the Good Samaritan. Number one is this. Number one, Jesus came where we were. He came where we were. You know, there was no way that the Samaritan could save this wounded man from a distance. There was no way. So I want you to look with me at verse 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and went to him. He had to go where the guy was. He had to get down in the ditch with him, and he had to go where he was if he was going to impact this man's life. You know, you impress lives from a distance. You impact lives up close and personal. You know, the priest and the Levite may have been, looked very impressive as they passed by. They had on their religious garb, and I'm sure they looked very sharp, you know. And so they would impress him from a distance, but they walked right on by. You see, you impress lives from a distance, but you impact lives up close and personal. And every single one of us can identify with this man that is lying here in the ditch. Look at verse 30 again. See if you can identify with this. It says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him what, church? Half dead. Man, I mean, I can identify with that. Every single one of us in here has been mortally wounded by Satan, by sin, and to be honest with you, by our own selves. By our own bad and evil choices, many times. We have self-inflicted wounds. There's no doubt about that, too. In fact, the Bible describes our condition as dead in trespasses and sins, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath. And Satan is represented by these thieves. Satan is just like these thieves. He's as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. And in order for Jesus to rescue us from sin and Satan and self, in order for him to rescue us from this bondage, he had to come to this sin-cursed earth. This is Satan's turf. Satan has implemented his world system here on this earth. Right now, Satan's called the prince of this world, the god of this world. This is his evil world system he's put in place. And in order to rescue us, Jesus Christ had to leave the comforts of heaven. He was in a comfortable position with the Father in heaven. And he had to leave his comfort zone. He had to leave heaven, and he had to come to this earth where we are. He had to come where we were, and he had to overcome sin. He had to overcome Satan in order to rescue us. You know, I think about that verse where Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Notice the first three words, I am come. What's he talking about? He's saying, I was in heaven with the Father. I'm down here now on the earth, and I am come. I've come down into the ditch. here to rescue you guys, to save you. I am come. He had to come where we were in order to rescue our lives. I think about that verse where Paul says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He had to come where we were. Today, you may feel wounded and you may feel hopeless. I've got some great news for you. Jesus Christ came to save you. He came where we were. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect, sinless, holy life for 33 years. He then made a full payment for our sin on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again, proving that what he did on the cross was enough. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. And now he can rescue you from whatever ditch that you may find yourself in. And he can pick us up and he can put us on solid ground. Jesus knew that he could not do for us what was necessary to save us from a distance. So like the Samaritan, he came right where we were. Aren't you glad for that today? In John 1:14 in your handout, look at it with me. It says, "In the Word," that's Jesus, if you look in that text. That's another name for Jesus. "And the Word," Jesus, "was made flesh and dwelt," where, church? "Among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He came where we were. He was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Look at the next verse, 1 John 4:9 in your handout. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son," where? He came where we were, didn't he? He came into the world. Why? Just like that Samaritan, that we might what? Live through him. Do you believe God loves you today? He does. You say, "Pastor Dan, how do I know that God loves me?" He came where you were. He came where you were to save you, to rescue you. That Samaritan's a picture of Jesus, friend. Don't forget that. That Samaritan saw that man in that ditch who was an enemy. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he saw, remember, we were the enemies of God because of our sin. And he saw that man in the ditch who was his enemy. And he saw him, couldn't save him from a distance. He had to come down to where he was in order to rescue him. Jesus Christ could not save us from a distance. He had to come where we were. And he came to this earth. And he said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." He loves you today. He came into this world to save you because he wants you to be part of his family. There's a second way we see Jesus in the Good Samaritan. Number two, the second way we see Jesus in the Good Samaritan is that Jesus was moved with compassion towards us. Jesus was moved with compassion towards us. I want you to make that mic hot for a second, this purple mic. And just to kind of illustrate this for you, the Samaritan and the Jews were enemies. There was a great deal of racial prejudice, very much hostility and hatred between these two people groups. The Samaritan and the Jews were enemies, as I said a second ago. And so you got a Jew in the ditch and you got a Samaritan passing by. And AJ, if you could come help me for a second real quick with this, I'm going to let you be the Samaritan. You get to be the good guy, okay? Come on up here. And I want you to be over here. And you go down there by the guitar. When I tell you, I want you to pass by, okay? And now listen, or come to me, all right? Now look, the Samaritan's down here. I'm sorry, the Jew is down here, and he's in this ditch, and he's been wounded. The Bible says he's half dead. Now, when he says he's half dead, he very well could have been conscious, but he was immobilized. He couldn't move. He was too weak to move. But he's still conscious, I believe. He's half dead, so he's got some consciousness. And so as he's laying here in the ditch like this, all of a sudden, here comes the Samaritan. Move slowly as you're going down the road. And all of a sudden, the Samaritan stops. He sees him. He recognizes there's a guy hurting, there's a guy in need. And then he starts to slowly move towards the guy. Stop. The guy down here, it's in the ditch, says, "Oh no, Oh no, a Samaritan. Oh, he's probably coming to rub salt in my wounds. He's probably coming to laugh at me. He's probably coming to just finish me off. Oh no, of all people to pass by, he's going to come and finish the job. And the guy moves towards him, and he comes and hovers over him and looks at him. And as this guy is lying here thinking, he's come to finish me off, the Samaritan says,
"Are you okay?"
We did not practice this before church, all right? He says,
"Can I help you?"
I'm not here to hurt you. Go ahead.
"I'm not here to hurt you.
I'm here to help you.
I'm here to help you.
And have compassion.
And have compassion on you."
Amen. Let's give him a hand. Didn't he do good? All right. Thanks, buddy. We should have practiced that, AJ, before. So that's my bad, all right? Not his bad. He's actually a very good actor. And you know what? I thought about this. I thought, a lot of people think God hates them. They think God's just mad at them. They think Jesus Christ despises them. And it's simply not true. Jesus Christ loves you. He has compassion on you. He wants to save you. You know, you read about Jesus. Read the Gospels. Jesus Christ had so much compassion on sinners. He loves you right where you are, man. He loves you wounded and bleeding, and you got scars on you, you know, from maybe bad choices you've made. Maybe you're scarred up because of what other people have done to you. Listen, I mean, that happens. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you right where you are, wounded and bleeding, but he loves you too much to leave you in that state. The Good Samaritan did not just look at him, have compassion on him, and say, "Well, man, I love you. I'll see you later." No, he did something about it. He took the guy and he restored the guy. And Jesus Christ loves you wounded and bleeding, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. I want you to know, when Jesus Christ gets involved in your life, he not only will save you, he will transform and change your life. He'll bound up your wounds, man. He'll bind them up, and he'll make you a new person. Look in your handout at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become." And everybody say that last word. What? New. Twice in that verse, the word new is used. He makes you like new. Jesus Christ will take you. You say, "But Pastor Dan, you don't know what I've been through. God has to be mad at me." No, he loves you. He wants to come to you. He came where you were. And he wants to save your life. And he'll bind up those wounds. And he'll rescue you. And he'll take you in his family, and he'll make you a new person. He'll restore you. In your handout, it says that Jesus will heal your broken life, and he'll make you a new person. Jesus will heal your broken life and make you a new person. Let me give you the third thing. I hear you turning your handout over. Let's go to the third point. Let's just move on. Number three. How do we see Jesus in the Good Samaritan? Number three, Jesus took our wounds upon himself. He took our wounds upon himself. Now, when you write that in, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to really think with me today. I want you to see Jesus today. And I want you to look at verse 34. All right, look at verse 34. Everybody look at that. It says, "He went to him, and..." What's the next thing? It says he bound up his what? Wounds. Putting in oil and wine. He bound up his wounds. He did not have to take this guy's wounds upon himself. Hey, listen. He could have said, "You know what? I didn't create those wounds. They are not my problem. I didn't do that to the guy. This is not my issue. This is not my problem. I did not wound the guy. Those wounds are not my problem." He didn't do that. He chose to help. What a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not create the wounds in my life. Jesus Christ did not create one wound in my life, nor did he create one wound or cause one wound in your life. Most of my wounds, I've got to be honest with you, most of my wounds have been self-inflicted. by sinful decisions or poor decision making, bad choices that I've made. Some wounds have been caused by others, like the Good Samaritan. You got a gang of thugs that come and they mug the guy and they create these wounds in his life, and that happens in our lives. People come into our life and they use us and they abuse us. And they leave you wounded, and they leave you bleeding, and they leave you hurting, and they don't care that they're leaving you that way. But Jesus Christ is not responsible for one bad thing or one painful wound in my life. It is Satan that is called a thief and a robber. It is Satan that is said to come to kill and destroy. It is Satan that is called a liar and a murderer. And I want you to know that God's not responsible for the wounds in our lives. Satan is ultimately behind all the painful wounds of this sinful earth, not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did not cause the wounds in your life. Jesus Christ died on the cross to heal you from your wounds. He died on the cross to save you, to rescue, to bind up your wounds. In Isaiah 53, it's in your handout, look at verses 4 and 5. It says that surely he hath borne, it's talking about Christ here, surely Jesus Christ has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But, he explains, he was what? Wounded for our transgressions, all the bad choices I made. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sinful decisions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are what? We're healed. We're healed. Notice he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus Christ took our wounds upon himself so that he could heal us and help us to overcome those wounds. There's another verse in your handout. It says in 1 Peter 2:24 in the New Testament, who his own self, that's Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He died so I could live. He bound up my wounds. Look at this verse on the screen, Galatians 1:4. It says that he gave himself for us. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. God loves you so much today. You say, Pastor Dan, how can I know that? Look in your handout, 1 John 3:16. Notice it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know the love of God. Because he, say it with me, laid down his life for us. Do you believe that today? Jesus Christ took our wounds upon himself. Man, I tell you what, when I was preparing this message, I was so moved as I saw Jesus in every aspect of this Good Samaritan, that he came where we were. He came where we were. He cared that much. He didn't do it from a distance. He came right where we were. Jesus Christ had compassion on us. And then he took our wounds upon himself. That Good Samaritan took that guy's, that Good Samaritan didn't create those wounds. He took that guy's wounds upon himself. That's what Jesus did. Number four, Jesus. It just gets gooder and gooder as we go through this. Jesus paid the entire cost to save us. Look at verse number 35. This is so good. Verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. The Samaritan did. Gave them to the host. Gave them to the innkeeper. He said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. You know, the Samaritan did not say to the innkeeper, hey, listen, I'll pay some of the cost, but you're going to have to get the rest from him when he comes to. When this guy gets well, you're going to have to hit him up for the rest of it. He needs to pay for some of this too. And you know what? When he comes to, and after he gets better, he's just going to have to work it off with you. If he doesn't have any money, you're just going to have to work him till he pays it off, because I'm not doing all that. No, the Samaritan took care of the entire cost. What a picture of Christ and what he has done for us. The priest and the Levite illustrate the total inability of religion to save you from the wounds of sin. Can't you just hear the priest and the Levite as they're passing by and they yell at this guy and they say, "Hey man, if you manage to pick yourself up and if you come to the temple, we'll pray over you. If you can manage to get up and make your way into the temple in Jerusalem, we'll say some religious incantations over you." Religion says do, Christ says done. Religion says you got to do this and you got to do that. Jesus says, "I've already done it all for you. I got it all covered." Jesus Christ has paid the full cost to rescue you, to give you a home in heaven for eternity. We're like the man in the ditch without strength. So Jesus took care of it all. He said, "You don't have any strength to do anything, man. You can't do anything to save yourself. So I'll take care of the whole thing. I'll do everything necessary to save you from sin, to be able to heal your wounds and make you fit for heaven." Jesus says, "I'll just take care of the whole thing. I'll do everything because you're without strength. You can't do anything." Look at Romans 5, 6 in your handout. "For when we were yet without" what? "Strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." I love Romans 6, 23 in your handout. It sums it up beautifully. "For the wages of sin is" what? "We've all been mortally wounded like the man in the ditch. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan that provides for our healing, provides for our life, and it is all at his expense. He offers eternal life as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't charge you one penny. He doesn't say you have to do this and do that. He says, "No, man, I've covered it all. I've taken care of all the expense. I've died for you. I was buried. I rose from the dead. I've ascended to the right hand of the Father. The work is done. It's complete. All the cost has been paid for. And now I want to give you the gift of eternal life." It's a gift. Jesus paid the entire cost to save us. And there's one final way we see Jesus in the Good Samaritan. Number 5, Jesus will come again for us. The Samaritan hands him over to the innkeeper and he says, "Here, this guy, I'm handing him over to you, but I'll be back." Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He went away. He went away. He's no longer on this earth. He did everything necessary to heal us from our wounds, but he went away. He said, "But when I go away, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit to take good care of you." But then he said, "I'll be back for you. I'll be back for you. If I go, I'll come again. I'm turning you over to the innkeeper," right? "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit of God to be with you. But I'll be back. I'll be back." And he will. You say, "I've been hearing that my whole life." Stay in this church, you'll keep hearing it. Because you know what? He said he'd be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. He said he would, he will. In your handout is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself..." Now, did you notice that? For who? The Lord who? Himself. The Good Samaritan said, "I will be back it will be me personally. I will come back and pay you whatever this costs. He said, you'll notice, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to what? Meet. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Would you all agree with me? The Good Samaritan is a great picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you allow Jesus to bind up your wounds and save you today? He's done everything for you. All you have to do is rest in him, trust him, believe on him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Just believe on him. He's done everything. He's done it all. Just believe on him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Seeing Jesus in the Good Samaritan. I hope you've seen Jesus today. And as we go out and we apply the two messages that were prior, and we are Good Samaritans, we go out and we help people in need, they'll see Jesus living through us.